Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
Amen. What a powerful time of worship. And I want to welcome you to Christ Fellowship. You're joining us for the first time. We want to say thank you so much for being a part of our experience today. My name is Carlos, and I serve as the executive pastor here. And I want to take a moment and welcome all of our campuses. Thank you so much. Our West Kendall campus, our Doral campus, Redland, Coral Gables downtown, if you're watching us online. And can we give it up for all the first-time guests? Yeah. Today is a very special weekend because we begin this new series that we've entitled I Am. And we're going through the seven powerful I Am statements that Jesus gives us in the Gospel of John. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to John chapter 6, verse 32. By the way, can we encourage our worship team, our production team, guest services, security, small groups, students, kids, all of our volunteers? They bring it every weekend. 32, verse 32. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread." Say with me, true bread.
True bread.
Say it like you mean the true bread.
True bread.
True bread from heaven. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst again." Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Yeah, you can have a seat now. You know, one of the things that I love doing in my off time when I'm not working or in ministry, I love spending time with my beautiful, lovely wife, Shawnee, and our children. I love spending time with our family. And one of the things that we enjoy to do together as a family is that we like to go to eat at different restaurants. And so while we're waiting for our meal, something that we often do is we play a little game called Would You Rather. I want to get to know my kids a little more, so I ask them questions like, "Would you rather be Batman or Superman? Would you rather go to the mountains for vacation, or would you rather go to the beach? Would you rather attend Sea of Kids or serve in Sea of Kids?" And then I'll ask them questions that have to do with food. I'll ask them, like, "Would you rather have steak or chicken or rice or mac and cheese?" And so here's what I want to do. Because fun is our style here at Christ Fellowship, I want us to play Would You Rather, and I'm going to ask you some questions about food, okay? You guys ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, here's what I'm going to ask you. Would you rather have McDonald's French fries or Chick-fil-A waffle fries? McDonald's? Waffle fries, Chick-fil-A? Oh my gosh. Y'all are really Christian then, huh? I think I'll go with McDonald's. All right. Would you rather have Popeye's chicken sandwich or Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich? Chick-fil-A, hands down. Chick-fil-A. Popeye's too fried. Here's the last one. Would you rather have a McDonald's Big Mac or a Burger King Whopper? Big Mac, make some noise, Big Mac. Whopper, yeah, Whopper. I think you are all hungry now. We can finish the service and let's go eat somewhere. Give yourself a round of applause, everyone. Doral, West Kendall, Redland, Coral Gables downtown. You know, I love all those fast food places. I try not to go there often because I want to stay healthy. But here's the thing, Burger King, I've been eating Burger King since I was a kid. In 1974, they started a slogan that many of us, all of us, we've heard it. And it is, have it your way. For 49 years, they've been saying this. They've been stating this for their customers. Have it your way. In other words, you're the customer, you're the client, and the moment that you walk into one of our restaurants, we want things for you to have it your way. We're all about you. If you want to come in and have the Whopper without lettuce and tomato, we're gonna prepare that Whopper without lettuce and tomato. If you want that Whopper only with bacon and cheese and nothing else, you're gonna have it your way, bacon and cheese. If you want that Whopper plain with just a beef patty, it's all about you. Have it your way. You're the customer. You're the client. It's all about you. And you create your own version of whatever you want to have because you have it your way. Now, why do I share that story with you today? Because don't miss the point in this. You see, because that kind of mindset, that kind of approach, inadvertently, some believers, we use that when it comes to God. And we create our own version of who God is to appease our desires, to appease whatever we want in life. This is how God is supposed to be. This is a God that I have formulated in my mind, that I have created in my mind. This is how God is. This is how God is supposed to respond. This is how God is supposed to behave. These are the characteristics of God, and we create a God our way. The problem is, oftentimes, the God that we create does not align with the Word of God. Amen. And what I love about the seven I am statements that we're gonna learn, we are gonna learn some of the characteristics of who God is. And I believe that this is gonna be very, very life-changing for you. And so we love to take notes here. I wanna encourage you to take out your listening guide and your Christ Fellowship app. And this is the first point that I want you to write down today. Jesus reveals to us who he is. Jesus reveals to us who he is. Now, let me take you back to that passage in John chapter 6, verse 32. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread. Say with me, true bread.
True bread.
Say it like you mean it, true bread. From heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Now, let me stop right there and let me give you some context to set up the teaching for today. Because this happens, this passage in verse 35 happens the day after the miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000 men. And there were actually 20,000 people in that crowd with five pieces of bread and two pieces of fish. This is the only miracle recorded in all the Gospels outside of the miracle of the resurrection. It's recorded in Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. And this happens the day after. But here's the thing. There's this massive crowd that is following Jesus. And the reason for that is because Jesus is a very popular person by this time in Scripture. You see, in John chapter 2, Jesus turns water into wine at a wedding. People are like, oh, wow, who is this guy? In John chapter 3, Jesus teaches the gospel to this religious leader by the name of Nicodemus. He tells him that the only way that you are to be saved is that you have to be born again. He didn't understand the gospel. He was a religious leader. In John chapter 4, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman who was an outcast, and no one wanted to speak to her, but Jesus spoke to her and told her her entire life and her testimony. She went back to her village. In John chapter 5, the chapter previous to John chapter 6, Jesus heals this man who had paralysis for 38 years. The Bible says that he was an invalid man. For 38 years, Jesus heals him with the power of his words. And so in John chapter 6, there's this crowd that is following Jesus. Jesus performs the miracle of feeding 5,000 men, 20,000 people in total, when you include women and children, with five pieces of bread and two pieces of fish. And the day after, a crowd comes after him, the same crowd, some of the same people, and Jesus drops the first I am statement, and he says, I am the bread of life. Now, Jesus gives us seven I am statements. The number seven And the Bible represents completion. Say it with me, seven. Say it like you mean it, seven. Jesus says in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the door. In the same chapter, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 11, after he resurrects his friend Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And lastly, in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do anything. And so when you think of who is God and what is Jesus like, instead of creating your own version of Jesus, look at that. He's the good shepherd. He's the vine. He's the resurrection and life. He's the way, the truth, and life. How many of you are thankful that we get to serve and worship a Savior like this that has never left us, has never forsaken us? He is the true bread. That's the Savior that we worship. And so Jesus tells this crowd, I am the bread of life. And when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and if you're writing notes, I want you to write this down. The I am statements are statements of Jesus' deity. Are statements of Jesus' deity. This is a Jewish audience. When Jesus says, I am, he's declaring to his audience and he's declaring to us that he is God. Let me take you back to Exodus chapter 3. And we told you that if you understand the first two books of the Bible, Genesis and Exodus, which is why we went through Genesis and we're going to go through Exodus. How many of you are excited about that? We're going to go through it in the fall. Then you have a better understanding of the entire Bible, the rest of the 64 books of the Bible. 39 are in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. But if you understand the first two, very imperative for you to understand the rest of the Bible. So here's what the Word of God says. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. Say with me, I am.
I am.
Say it like you mean it, I am.
I am.
God is having a conversation with Moses through a burning bush. God tells Moses, listen, Moses, you are the person who's going to be assigned to deliver my people who have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. You are the prophet. You're the leader. Moses asked the question, when I go there, what do I tell the people? Who has sent me? Said, I am. I am, unquestionably, is the name for God. And so Jesus comes into our world. He begins to perform these miracles and healings. And the Gospel of John, which is one of the most theologically profound Gospels, he begins by saying in John chapter 6 that he is the bread of life. So he is calling himself God. In other words, he is letting his Jewish audience know, listen, I'm more than just a good teacher. I'm more than just a moral person. I'm more than just a great communicator. I'm more than just someone who performs healings and miracles. I am God. I am what the scriptures testify in the Old Testament. See, the other day I was at the gym and I was working out and someone came to me and said, hey, where do you coach? And I had forgotten I was wearing my volunteer coach shirt to work out. And I said, well, I'm not coaching right now. I coach for 2 seasons, my son's flag football league, and I'm probably going to get back to it next year. And so to that person, we started talking about football and coaching and what that entails. And to that person at the gym, they saw me as a coach. But by the grace of God, I'm more than just a coach. By the grace of God, I'm a pastor. By the grace of God, I'm also a father. By the grace of God, I'm also a husband. And most importantly, by the grace of God, I'm a son of the living God. I've been redeemed. I'm more than just a coach. And Jesus is telling us, I'm more than just a good person. I'm more than just this guy that can perform miracles and healings. I just fed 20,000 people, and that's amazing. And I'm a great preacher, and I'm a great teacher, and I am a great rabbi because they were calling him rabbi. I'm all those things, but I'm much more than that. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man. I am the bread of life. How many of you believe that today? He is more than just a philanthropist. He's more than just a good person. I am preaching to somebody at Redland. I am preaching to somebody at Coral Gables. Come on and give Jesus a shout of praise. So he begins to declare these statements, and he says, I'm the bread of life. What does it mean that Jesus is the bread of life? See, the bread of life is a statement of satisfaction. It's a statement a satisfaction. Look at what that pastor says. I'm gonna take us back a little bit to the narrative in verse 25. And this is the day after the miracle. And they say, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me, not because you saw your signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Wow. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Then verse 34, they said to him, give us, sir, this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. In other words, you're missing it. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. You're missing the point. You stayed behind another day, not because you want me, but because you want more bread.
Oh, preach, brother.
You want more fish. You want more sea bass, more tilapia, grouper. You want that grouper sandwich again. And they get so bold that the crowd says, you gave me lunch yesterday. Now they want brunch.
Come on.
Not just today. He says, sir, give us this bread every day. That grouper sandwich felt good. It satisfied for a moment. It filled me up for a moment. And I felt good in my stomach, but Jesus is like, wait a minute. The fish and the bread that I gave you yesterday can just satisfy you for a moment, but don't go for the moment. Go for something that's everlasting. See, what I have to give to you is better than the celestial pita that I'm gonna give you. It's better than the organic crackers that you just got with salmon. It's much better than that. What I have to give to you never perishes. You'll never be hungry again. You'll never be thirsty again. See what the world has to offer. It feels good for a moment. Oh, it satisfies you for a moment. The new promotion feels amazing. The new title feels, you feel so good about yourself. The new office and the new view, it feels amazing. It satisfies you for a moment. You're satisfied for a moment. But then after you're working that job for years and you get to the thick of things and it becomes just mundane work, and what felt amazing all of a sudden is just a routine, and it just becomes very mundane in your life. Then your relationship feels amazing at the moment. Oh, baby, you hang up. Nah, you hang up. Nah, sweetie pie, boo, love, you hang up. Let's stay on the phone together the entire night. I want to hear you snore, snore, snore. Oh, that's so cute, so cute. I'm gonna be tired the next day, but you're so cute. Feels good for the moment. When you've been married, the snore ain't that cute anymore. You better snore your way out of here, girl. Like, snore, snore. Well, it was cute before, yeah, we were dating. Snore your way out of here. Go to your kids' room. It feels good for the moment. The new beautiful home feels good for the moment. Satisfies you for a moment. And Jesus says, you got it all wrong. Sir, give us that bread every day. You're with the bread of life. Why are you gonna go for the temporal when you have the eternal, something that will always satisfy you? What's wrong with you? That is what happens in our lives all the time. Who are you running to as your source of satisfaction? Or what are you running to as your source of satisfaction? Last year in December, someone gifted our family with a beautiful dog, a lab, full-bred, beautiful dog. We called him Maverick. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a dog person. She's like, don't judge me. Come on. I love dogs. Don't judge me. You love dogs, amazing. I love Maverick. I love him. He's an amazing dog, cute, beautiful. Love him from a distance, but the boy is wild. He's crazy. Energetic. He chews on everything and everyone and is just rambunctious. I mean, and so we keep him at home, but sometimes inside the house, sometimes we put him outside and he's always trying to dig up a hole to leave the house because he sees other dogs and he chases after Frankie's dog, Winston, and wants to play with other dogs and he's always out there. We always have to chase him and all stuff. And people call us, hey, Maverick's out again. I know, God bless you. I'll get him now. They send me a text message, Maverick is out again, I get. But here's the thing about Maverick. Even though the boy is wild, he's a crazy dog. The thing about Maverick is, he's a smart dog. And even when he leaves, he always comes back home. Always. Because he knows that house there, that family with three children, the 9-year-old, 8-year-old, 5-year-old, the father who's 39 years old, the wife who's 35 years old, that house there, the blue and white home with a two-car garage, I know that that home is going to protect me. I know that that home is going to feed me. I know that that home, I can feel satisfied because they love me and they care for me in their own way, so he always runs back home. My question for you today is, who are you running to or what are you running to? Are you running to alcohol? Are you running to a relationship? Are you running to an addiction? Are you running to pornography? Or are you running to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that says, listen, if you're with me, I'm going to satisfy you, not for the summertime, not for a little fling, not for a season, not only on Sunday, but every single day, because I will always bring true ultimate satisfaction. How many of you believe that today? I am preaching to somebody at Doral, at Coral Gables, at Redland, at West Kendall. Come on and give Jesus a shout of praise. Yeah, he tells them, you got it all wrong. You want sea bass. I'm the creator of sea bass, fool. Come on, that wasn't in the notes. That was just, you got me going, 1045. I'm the creator of sea bass. What's wrong with you? So the I am statement is a statement of satisfaction. Here's the next point that I want you to write down. It is a statement of completion. It is a statement of completion. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. See, they were following Jesus. They stayed behind, not because of who Jesus was, but because of what Jesus can do. Yep. They were using Jesus as a vehicle. Wow. As a connection, a conduit of the blessing that they so desired in life. What they wanted in life was more food. Celestial baker, celestial fisherman, I'm gonna follow him. You see, they wanted the miracle, but not the maker.
Come on now.
They wanted the gifts, but not the giver. Yeah. They wanted the crown, but they didn't want to pick up the cross. They wanted God's power, but they didn't want his presence. They wanted the blessing, but they didn't want the blesser. They were using Jesus as a means to something else. Yes. And Jesus is like, no, I'm not a means to your bread. I'm not a means to food. I'm not a means to resources. I am the means and I am the end because I'm the Alpha and the Omega, yeah, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the creator of all things. And that's exactly what prosperity kind of gospel teaches. And even self-helplessness. If I give more to God, if I give more to the church, God will heal me. If I give more to the church, God will fix my marriage. And it preaches this kind of gospel that is not true. They're using the gospel, they're using Jesus as a means to something else. If I attend church and God is gonna fulfill all of my dreams, all of my goals, and you use God as a means to something else, if I give more to the church, then God is going to fix my family or bless me with the promotion or bless me with the business. And listen, I'm not saying that God can't give you that, and I'm not saying that God's not gonna bless you and God rewards those who give faithfully. What I'm saying is that we don't use God as a means to appease our selfish desires, our desires. We don't use God as a means to get something out of God. We don't use God as a means to an end, to something else. No, God is the means and He is the end. And whether or not He blesses me with the promotion, whether or not He heals me physically, whether or not He gives me that home that I so desire, whether or not He fixes my situation, I'm still going to worship God because He is worthy of all the praise and all the adoration and all the worship because He is the bread of life. So they were using Jesus as a means to fulfill their blessing. See, the statement, the I am, the bread of life statement, is a statement of satisfaction, completion. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. It is a statement of provision. It is a statement of provision. Now I want to take us back to the beginning of the narrative of the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Look at what the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 5. Lifting up his eyes, then seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we?" This is Jesus speaking to his disciple. "Where are we to buy the bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Say with me, not enough. Say it like you mean it, not enough. Jesus knew the answer. Jesus knew what would happen in the future. He's God. He knows the present and the future. He knows what's going to happen. And he asked Philip, where are we going to get the food? And he says, we don't have enough. We only have 200 denarii worth of bread. Think about this for a moment. Philip, one of his disciples, he had front row seats to the miracles that Jesus was performing. He saw Jesus turn water into wine in front of him. He saw Jesus heal the man who had been invalid for 38 years, who had paralysis for 38 years. He had front row seats to all the miracles. He's with the bread of life, the one who's been healing people, who's been teaching and preaching. And yet, he has a scarcity mindset. We don't have enough, Jesus. We don't have enough bread to feed all the people that are coming our way. We don't have enough resources. Scarcity mindset. Carlos, I don't have enough money. Scarcity mindset. I don't have enough in my retirement account. Carlos, I don't have a big enough home. Scarcity mindset. Carlos, I don't have enough shoes. I don't have enough clothes. I don't have enough, a big enough car, a new enough car. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. And what I love about this is that Jesus, in that narrative, takes them back to the power of provision. Because in Mark and John chapter 6, verse 31, this is still in the narrative. Look at what Jesus says. He takes them back to the Old Testament. He says, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." He goes back to the Old Testament again. He goes, listen, when the people of God, when they left Egypt, they were slaves for 400 years before they made it into the promised land. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible says that every single day, God would give them manna from heaven, daily bread. Every single day, God himself was feeding the people of God. However, there was one condition. God told his people, you can't keep any leftovers for the next day.
That's right.
Because I want you to trust me. It was a test. What do you think the people of God do? They get their Cheesecake Factory bag. doggy bag in their box, and they start putting manna. I don't know if God's going to come through, so, you know, I might as well keep some, because I don't know if God's going to come through. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 16, verse 19, you may not believe me, but read it in your own quiet time when you have time. The Bible says that God saw that, and he rotten their food, filled with maggots. God said, no, listen. This is a daily provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Not weekly, not summer bread, not seasonal bread, not yearly bread, but daily bread. I'm a God who provides. You see, we don't believe in prosperity gospel, that we give to God so that we can get rich. We don't believe in poverty gospel, where we gotta be broke and have less money, because the more broke that you are, the less money that you have, the less resources that you have, the more holy and sanctified you are. No, there are amazing women and men who are well-resourced and are wealthy and are incredible men and women of God. We don't believe in prosperity gospel. We don't believe in poverty gospel. We believe in provision gospel. God is gonna provide not only for some of my needs, not only for a few of my needs, not only for the big needs, not only for the small needs, not only on Sunday, not only on Monday, but every single one of my needs, I serve a God who is going to provide for them. How many of you believe that today? Come on and give Jesus a shout of praise at West Kendall, at Doral. This isn't prosperity teaching. This isn't poverty teaching. This is provision gospel. How many of you are thankful for God's provision? And so Jesus is telling them, let me remind you in the Old Testament, in Exodus, let me remind you when the people of God were in the wilderness for 50 years, I was the one feeding them every single day. You probably came in here today and you think, I don't have enough. With God, you have more than enough. Amen. Satisfaction, completion, provision. Here's the next point that I want you to write down. Compassion. Compassion. Hallelujah. This is the only miracle outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that was recorded in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Mark chapter 6, I love what Mark illustrates to us, because in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion. Say with me, compassion. Compassion. Say it like you mean it, compassion. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Think about this for a moment. Jesus knew, this is before the miracle happens. He teaches them and then he feeds them. Teaches them, feeds them. He knew that a lot of those people were going to follow him because of the food that he provided. The bread and the fish. He knew that. He's God. He knew that Joey, Maria, Melissa, those guys, they're going to wait for me the next day because I'm going to provide another meal for them. And they don't only want lunch, they want brunch every single day. And he knew that. And yet, the Bible says he had compassion and still feeds them. Isn't that amazing? We serve a God who's so compassionate towards us, who says, listen, I know at times you follow me because of what I can do for you. But I'm still gonna love you. I'm still going to be there for you. I'm never gonna leave you. I'm never gonna forsake you, because I'm a good and gracious and compassionate, loving God. That's the kind of Savior we serve. And because of that, church family, when God shows compassion towards us, then we're called to show compassion to other people. And that's the reason why earlier this summer we began this new initiative called Be a Blessing. Be a Blessing. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to other people. And what we want to do as a church family is that we want to serve people, not only their physical needs, but most important, their spiritual needs as well. We want to come alongside families, not just once, not just a couple times, but throughout the year, we're going to find opportunities to serve them at the beginning of the school year. Then in Thanksgiving, we can provide a Thanksgiving basket for them. And then in Christmas, we can provide gifts for them and their children, their family. Easter time, we can provide an Easter basket. And then we can bless them and invite them to come to church. And when we do this, we're blessing other people because God has blessed us. And we see when we bless and serve people, then they start coming to the things of God. And there's a powerful testimony that I want to share with you through video of one of our pastors, Pastor Gideon, of how God blessed his family through another family, through another church many years ago. In fact, take a moment and take a look at this video.
I grew up in North Carolina. I'm one of five kids, and so there's obviously my mom and my dad, so there's seven of us. You know, every time that I reflect on my life, it's not like I forgot, but I remember the hardship that I had to face and endure. I would say it's a lot. And I'm thinking like, why would I have to go through all these things? The most challenging things that I faced was definitely the divorce of my parents. And so the decision that my mom and my dad made to divorce really led to a lot of other challenges that we faced. I spent majority of my childhood with my mom. So you can imagine, single mom, five kids, you're gonna face some challenges. And we had our fair share. And so it got to the point where we eventually became homeless, and we lived from house to house with friends and family. And I gotta be honest with you, I gotta tell you, like, even as a 10-year-old boy, I just felt like there was something wrong. Like, you kind of see what's going on, but you just know that this is not right. And, you know, I just felt like I wish that I could do more. I wish that I could help my mom out more. It eventually got to the place where my family and I got accepted to this homeless shelter. And my mom worked about 2.5 jobs to try to get us back on our feet, and she did. We eventually moved into, it wasn't our first home, but it was the home where I made the most memories. In this house, many firsts, but if there's something that sticks out the most to me, it would be the first Christmas that we spent there. And as a kid, the first thing you look for is, where's the Christmas tree? And day after day, still no Christmas tree. It's Christmas Eve, and we're crying because there's no Christmas tree. And so like, Mom, where's the Christmas tree? We wake up the next morning, it's Christmas, and I see no Christmas tree. I see no presents. We start crying. Mom, what is this? There's no Christmas tree. There's no Christmas presents. I can't believe this is happening. So she tells us that we're going through a season in our life where it's challenging. And I remember the breakfast that my mother made, because my brother and I were playing a game. She made grilled cheese. And so my brother and I, we took our plate of grilled cheese. We sat on this bay window in our home, and we were playing the game. And he was like, hey, let's see who can eat the grilled cheese the slowest. You know, I lost that game because your boy can eat a grilled cheese. It was good. So as we're eating this grilled cheese, we see this van pull into the driveway. We had a pretty long driveway. We see this van pull in, and this elderly woman gets down, and as she's walking up to the door, she like waves at us. I was like, we have no idea who this woman is. So we get down, we enter the door, and her hand is already extended. And she says, come with me, baby. And so my brother, I see him sizing up this lady like this. And he looks at me. He looks at this lady, looks back at me, and he gives me this nod. And that nod basically is like, if anything were to go south, we could take this old lady. So that's what it was. I mean, if you know, you know. So we follow her to the van. And as we pull up to this van, I just remember all what I saw. I first saw the expression on my brother's face, and then this van was just stocked to the brim with wrapped presents. So we like took all these presents, we brought it into the house. I remember the conversation that this woman was having with my mother, and the conversation she was saying that Jesus loves you and Jesus loves your babies. And as I'm holding this toy, I remember looking down and saying to myself, yes, he does. Yes, he does. But the full impact for me came full circle when I had the opportunity to give to someone what I received. And so every single year we would go out as a church and my small group, and we would give presents to families that we've identified who are under-resourced, people who need help. And I think one of the greatest things for me is the fact that I get to do it with my son, Jeremiah, who's now 10. I get out of the car, open up the trunk, and we're praying over these presents. And I'm telling Jeremiah, when we walk up to this door, you got to understand that we're delivering more than just presents. We're delivering hope, that there is probably another kid your age sitting in this house looking for hope. You know, one of the verses that I love the most is what Psalm 73 tells us, is that my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And what that means is that whether it's sickness, whether it's loss, whether it's a job loss, whether it's your betrayal, or even your own sin, God still shows up. I'd gone through a place where a church supported my family. They were a blessing to my family, not just on Christmas, but even throughout the entire year. It got to the point where at the start of school, this church is standing there because they took me and my siblings shopping for school. And so this is the kind of love that we received ongoing from this church. I remember that. And in my heart, it's what I desire to do. It's like, I want to do exactly what this church has done for me.
Man, isn't what a powerful, powerful story from Pastor Gideon and his family. And what I love what he shared is that this was an ongoing thing that that church did. They were a blessing. And so here's what I want you to do. I want to take a moment right now as the band continues to play, and then I'm going to wrap us up with a Bible verse and the last point. If you haven't signed up to this powerful initiative, Be a Blessing, and the Lord is leading us towards this, I want to encourage you to do so. I know many of you have already signed up, but if you haven't done so right now, you can just take out your phone. I'm going to give you like about 30, 45 seconds. Take out your phone right now. You can scan the QR code. I see many phones up, you know, just scan the QR code. West Kendall, Redland, Coral Gables, downtown, Doral, you're watching us online. And take a moment right now and sign up. Take a moment right now, sign up, and then I'm going to wrap us up with the last point. Amen. Can we give God the praise? Amen. The Bread of Life statement was a statement of satisfaction, completion, provision, compassion. And here's the last point that I want you to write down. The most important one, salvation. Amen. Salvation. Look what the Bible says in John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, if you come to him, you shall never hunger again. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. See, my friend, I want to tell you today that perhaps you feel far away from God. Maybe you feel distant from God. Maybe you feel like God doesn't love you, like God doesn't have a purpose for you. Perhaps you feel like you're a mistake. Maybe you feel obligated to be here today. Maybe you were forced to be here today. I want to tell you, my friend, that God loves you so much. The Bible says in John 3:16, that he loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. That if you believe with your heart that he was raised from the dead, the Bible says in Romans 10:19, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved.
Amen.
It is a prayer that God will always answer with a yes, a sinner's prayer. And so today, my friend, maybe you have been running towards the things of this world. Things that only satisfy you for a moment, that do not complete you, that do not provide for you, just give you a bunch of headaches, a bunch of issues, lead you to debt. And today, my friend, on this day, if you're watching us online, you can make the best decision of your life. You can give your life to Jesus. With no one looking, I want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you're like, Pastor Carlos, that message was for me, and today I want to give my life to Jesus. With no one looking in this room, would you just take a moment right now and lift up your hand as high as you can? God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am, in the front. God bless you, ma'am, right in the front. God bless you. Tons of hands lifted. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. There where you are, even if you did not lift up your hand, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You can pray the same exact words, or you can pray something similar. It's not the words that you say that save you. It's the condition of your heart. And God wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants it all. Father God, I come before you. And I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of saving. Jesus, I believe that you died. You were buried and you were raised from the grave for my sins. I repent. I turn away from my old ways and I run to you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my everything. From this day forward, I will live for you and you alone. It's in your holy and precious name that I pray. Amen and amen. Christ Fellowship, can we give it up for those who made that prayer to follow Christ? Amen. If you made that decision, go to our Next Steps area. We have a Bible that we want to give you today. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet now. I'm going to pray us out. But remember, next weekend, we continue this series and we're going to talk about Jesus being the light of the world from John chapter 8. But let me pray for us. Father God, we just come before you. God, we thank you for this time, God, that we can worship you and give you the praise that only you deserve, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word, because it transforms us, it renews our mind, it challenges us, it encourages us, it convicts us, Lord. And so thank you, God. We want to be not only listeners of your word, but we want to be a doer of your word. And so thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in our lives. It's in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have an incredible Sunday. God bless you. Have a good one.